The back nine holes.
No, where the hell's that?
Where the hell is the 18 holes in Hell's Gate?
Well, whatever it is, the back nine.
The back nine at Hell's Gate?
Yeah.
It's after hole nine!
I think you're mistaken.
No, there's another nine holes after you finish the front nine at Hell's Gate.
Alright, well, you'll have to show me. One of these days.
I guess you didn't finish. That's what she said.
Yeah, but we didn't ever finish. Ever.
I guess we didn't finish the last time.
I finished too soon.
Yeah.
You finished prematurely.
Yeah, you guys did finish prematurely.
Yeah,
you guys
always.
You guys finished Hell's Gate prematurely.
Yeah.
You guys played it like it was sunset.
Like it was indeed Hell's Gate. And not Heaven's Gate.
Welcome to episode number 4, Living in My Head, Rent Free, and today we are going to be living in a different person's head. We are joined by the legend, the man himself, my older brother, Trey Israel. Trey, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, you hit me up on Sunday, said, need you for the podcast, so came through for you, and appreciate you coming through for my chant interview we did a few weeks ago or whenever that was, and had a short stint over there. So
well, the thing is like I kind of want to revitalize the Raw interview, but do it in this way. I think the Raw interview had legs, so for those of you that don't know, which is quite literally probably all of you,
except Shane, shout out to Shane
and our parents,
yeah,
sure. You know, who are big supporters of us, obviously.
Yeah.
The Raw interview, me and Trey, me and him sat down for an interview first, and it was hilarious, and I had a great time doing it because I was laughing. Nobody really makes me laugh like my brother does. This guy right here, he's unintentionally funny. He's a guy that he does it. You don't know when you're making people laugh. You don't know when you're funny.
Yeah, I'm dry.
Yeah, well, are you
the dry humor.
Are you dry or are you not trying to be funny?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think I'm funny accidentally.
Funny accidentally?
Yeah.
Well, kind of dive in more into your dry humor because I think more people want to know how much you're doing that intentionally or not. I'm going to go over here and check your audio levels.
All right. Well, Treeb's over there checking the audio levels. I don't know. I think for me it comes pretty naturally. And I think the thing that helps it the most is the tone of my voice, which is pretty monotone, you know, which is another thing that, you know, I'm trying to do, trying to get back into the storytelling and see if I have the chops for that. But yeah, you know, pretty dry humor. I'm not exactly a comedy head like my co-partner is or has. He's become quite the comedy, as he does Kill Tony and such, but...
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I think, because, you know, my goal, or my dream, eventually, is to do a form of stand-up comedy. I'd like to do that. And I think, if between the two of us, if one of us was going to do stand-up comedy, I think you have the chops for it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, I have to ask you, so would you say that when it comes to speaking in front of people, do you find that pretty easy? Because for me, like, whatever I did, I mean, I was nervous. But at the same time, it was kind of entertaining. Because I'm just like, you know, the worst that's going to happen is that, you know, 16-year-olds roast me or whatever. So it's like...
What do you remember from speech class? Because I feel like you've never... I don't think you've ever told.
Oh, I did.
Did you tell some? What, like what?
Well, I don't have any stories from it.
Yeah. Oh.
It was.
Okay.
I was just bringing it up. I don't know if you had any speech stories or.
No, you know, I liked speech in high school, and I liked being the center of attention, and I still do. You know, that's why I have a podcast that gets not that many views, and I'm trying to up the production value to try and get more views. But I think as I've gotten older, I've enjoyed speaking in front of people less. And I know that doesn't make sense, you know, with me wanting to try stand-up comedy. But yeah. I literally, like, even when I have to talk, like, at a meeting at work, I feel myself, like, kind of talk like this, like, during a meeting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, I get a little nervous talking in front of people. But I used to, that used to be my thing. I used to really enjoy it. But no, I do get nervous talking to people. Before we continue, ladies and gentlemen, I have to let you know the hit podcast Living Rent-Free in My Head is available on every single digital podcast platform where you enjoy your podcast. That's right. You can enjoy the podcast on the go in audio form. You can listen to me ramble about random thoughts in my head. And when we have a guest on like Trey, you get to dive in more into the mental state and figure out what makes Trey Trey. And I don't think there's really anything else better than that, Trey, than getting to dive into your head. And, you know, I asked you to jot down some thoughts, and I think the first big takeaway that I have of this podcast is you have no sheets of paper, you have nothing typed out. I don't think you listened to me.
Well, you know, you did text me, and I was like, so here's the thing, Treve. Do you think that when you get a guest on and the guest is actually worth something and not Trey. Like, say you got someone that's has a little bit of name out there, you think you could text him and be like, okay, I'm gonna need you to jot down some ideas.
But you are Trey.
I'm just preparing you for this podcast if it plans to continue. Like and it's like and I have to give a plug to my guy. Because we also do a podcast, if you guys want to check it out.
Yeah.
Shane Got You 11. It's called the West Coast Podcast. Every other Friday at 10:30 p.m. And yes, both of us reside on the West Coast.
What a surprise.
But, man, I mean, because me and Shane, it's like a situation with Shane and I where we can get on and it's, we have a lot of chemistry together. So we don't even really need like a whole mapped out. I mean, you can even make the argument.
And it's not even really that I don't have this necessarily mapped out, but the theme of the podcast is living rent-free in my head. So we're like, the whole thing is just things that I've been thinking about throughout the week, and we talk about it. So, you know,
if you would have asked me, like, at the start of the week.
That's fair.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
to be fair on my end as well, and I'm sorry we keep interrupting each other. You can tell we're brothers. We're going to get better about that. But, be fair to me, I also was expecting to have a different guest on this week, and he ended up bailing on me. But, I wasn't sure if I had to call you in. I wasn't sure if I had to call in the reserves.
Yeah, no, I made a joke about that. He was like, hey, Trey, can you come on this podcast just in case my guest leaves? And I just think of that's going to be the first ad that we released for the Rent Free in My Head podcast. It's going to be sponsored by Progressive. It's going to be like, if only there were backups in real life, and it shows the real guest. And then the real guest leaves. He's like, okay, Trey, time to come in. And I just come in all. The backup.
Like, yeah, by the time this podcast has like 700 episodes, you are going to have like 450 guest spots. Be like Ari Shaffir on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah, that's what I was going for, or Bill Burr for that matter.
Well, I don't think Bill Burr's been on JRE that many times.
But. Yeah, more than a couple, I'd say.
But I do have some thoughts and some stories that have been living in my head rent-free. Before we dive into some thoughts that have been going through my head that directly relate to my brother and I and kind of our childhood and our upbringing, I want to talk about a story that happened to me yesterday. This is something that is kind of hard to talk about because I feel like you kind of got to balance a line, so I'm going to do my best here. Renee and I, we live in an apartment complex, but there's only about 8 people that live in this apartment complex. And, of course, our two downstairs neighbors are the craziest people in this apartment complex. You have one older lady who always falls down and always needs help doing stuff. And then you have a old man who is, you know, still thinks that he's in his 20s and plays loud music at all hours of the night. And, you know, this guy happened to find himself a woman, which, you know, congratulations to him. But this woman, surprisingly, is a doctor. And not only is this woman a doctor, but she has two kids. And one of her kids is a total, like, snot-nosed, like, punk, and you can just tell. Like, you can just picture this kid, right? When you think of a snot-nosed kid, what do you think of?
Snot-nosed kid, like, I don't know, I think of, people that are high up in the world. Like, yeah. is that kind of what you're getting at there?
Absolutely not at all. So, this kid, imagine Billy from Billy and Mandy. So,
so that's what you mean by that, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, so okay. He has, like, boogers coming out of his nose, his shirt is too small for him.
So, he's literally a snot-nosed.
Yeah.
Because, in a literal sense, but usually when I think of snot-nosed, I think he's like a...
like snooty.
Snooty or something.
I see the misunderstanding. But anyway, this kid...
he literally had snot.
Yeah, coming literally. Out of his nose.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, it was almost like, I could not believe that this was happening. We were just sitting in our apartment, and we hear this just like, you know, just like this little banging going on. We look outside, this kid is hitting the tree with a stick. Just banging the tree with a stick. And our downstairs neighbor, who is not his dad, and trust me, he's going to let him know this here soon, but it's not his dad. And he goes out and he tries to tell him to stop. And as we open the window, this kid starts going at him with the stick, and he had to grab the stick and he throws it. And as he throws it, they look at us as we're peeking through the blinds and we shut them. And, you know, like 10 minutes pass or whatever. And we go and decide that we want to go to KFC. And as we go outside, this kid is sitting on top of the stairs, yelling at our downstairs neighbor. And he said, and I quote, I'm not even joking, "You are not my dad, N-word." And then he said, "You need, like, leave me alone, N-word." And it has been probably decades since I have heard a white person so nonchalantly spew around the N-word. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, you're saying that it's been 10 years since you've heard it, which I'd say...
probably been longer than that, actually.
Which I would say, you know, Idaho, for the misconceptions that it gets, you know, 10 years without hearing the N-word is not... I think we're moving in the right direction a little bit.
I think we're on the right track, for sure.
We're on the right... now, for clarity, we're talking about the ER version, right?
No. There was an A. It was an A, but I don't
so
think...
so it was the A version.
Yeah, it was the A version. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It was a soft A version, not the hard R version.
Yeah.
But, you know, it put me in a moral dilemma, because when I heard this, when I came out the door, I wanted to bust out laughing.
All
I wanted to do was laugh. But... what does that do? Like, that just shows that this kind of language is right, and that, you know, this kid could get away with it.
So, like...
but it's also, like, I was also just shocked, because, wouldn't you just casually hear that out and about anymore?
Yeah.
You know?
So for context, the person he was calling the N-word to, he was white, too, right?
He was also white. Yes.
So it's like...
it was white on white N-word crime.
It was white on white N-word crime.
Yeah.
Sounds like Idaho.
Yeah, it is exactly Idaho. If you've never been to Idaho, that is what it's like.
Yeah.
Two white people, nonetheless a, you know, kind of like a stepdad, stepson situation, you know, calling you two white, you know, calling each other the N-word. And I couldn't get over it. It was the funniest thing that I've seen, but I couldn't laugh. What would you have done? You would have laughed.
I would have laughed too. But you know, situations like that, and it doesn't even have to be the kid. You know, it can be an adult. I'm gonna get philosophical on you.
Yeah.
You know, whenever someone, you know, talks like that, and you're asking yourself, oh, why he is, and it's because they want to get the other person mad. Like, that's why that sort of thing happens, so...
I was...
and it's not an excuse. That's not what I'm saying, but...
No, I was torn between that and also, like, you could tell that he probably doesn't have any male influences in his life.
In his life at all.
Yeah. That's kind of where I turned to, you know? Because it's not like... Like, we had a great dad, you know? Yeah. And we're not just out here spewing the N-word, you know?
Yeah. And that's another good point, because you also don't know what his circumstances are.
Yeah.
Like, and he said he's raised by a single mom, so, like, what guys is he, you know, bringing around him and stuff like that, so.
But, you know, keeping with my thoughts here and kind of going in, sticking with the relationship with me and my brother here, I released my first podcast, and a lot of it was me talking about how I quit sodas, but not only did I stop drinking sodas, but I've been sober from alcohol for 6 months, and... Nobody was more primed to call me out on my bullshit for drinking or how much I drank than you. And I just want to address that and how you were just so blunt with me and my drinking habits.
When was this? When did I call you out about your drinking habits?
All the time. I don't know if you just called
me. Oh, well, I don't remember that, but what I will say is... There's been times, not even that long ago, where you'll show up and you'll have a backpack and you'll have like two tall boys of whatever drink you have just chilling.
Yeah.
So I don't remember saying that, but it's pretty accurate.
I remember every time me and Trey did a couple of episodes of The Raw Interview. I mean, we really tried to get that one up and going. And you know,
shout out to Theo Lawson and
Matt
he's
Dane.
A good guy. Yeah,
those were two really good interviews.
Yeah,
but I forgot, I lost my train of thought there.
Talking about drinking.
So when I was drinking and I like would have you know probably three or four drinks during the podcast, my mom would tell me afterwards, she'd be like, Trey's worried about you. He would tell us that you had like three beers in your backpack. And I'm like, what? I'm going to snitch. And you've always been like that. You've always been a dirty, dirty snitch when I have been on illegal substances. Why can't you let me have fun?
God forbid I let you smoke crack. I probably would have already tried
heroin if it wasn't for you not letting me just have a headache after I smoked a joint at a Tech N9ne concert.
You ruined my life.
you ruined my life by not letting me ruin my life. Motherfucker. But that's something that sticks out to me. Are you proud of me?
Oh, yeah. All jokes aside, I've always been pretty envious about how you, you know, in high school, you figured out you kind of knew what you wanted to do, and you didn't take no for an answer. And hopefully in other areas that you didn't do that, but for this specific career path, you didn't take no for an answer.
Yeah.
And that's why you're here. You're like, who needs college?
I know.
I'm going to be a journalist. I'm going to be a podcaster. Screw it. And you did it.
That's funny. I got to tell somebody today that I was doing this job and I didn't go to college, and that was pretty cool. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, I know. I always like was kind of questioning that, like you know, do you ever get around people who are a little bit higher up in the journalism business and they kind of look down on you a little bit because you didn't have a college degree or anything like that?
No, yeah. I think typically when I run into people and I talk to them about not going to college, I think they're envious of me. And I think that they actually think it's pretty cool that I didn't go to college.
And then plus, I mean, it's not like, you know, there's any like Harvard graduates or anything like that.
And like, there are so many journalism jobs to be had. It's not like I'm taking anybody's job.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, honestly, like, for how long that, I like, here at the Tribune, like, that our Idaho beat reporter job was available for so long. Like, honestly, if you just gave it, like, a really good college try, like, you're like, I really want this job, trust me, I will give it 110%.
Yeah.
I bet you they would have gave it to you.
Yeah, hell yeah. No, I mean, that's all you gotta do for sure, so. But there was, You went to a few journalism camps back in the day, if my memory serves me correctly.
I went to one, and it was the lamest thing.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because I could be tripping, but wasn't there a woman that was at the journalism camp that you didn't get along with at all? Or am I...
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't get along with a lot of them. And honestly, yeah, it almost turned me away from journalism.
From the journalism business.
But it didn't, because I had a really good guy who showed me the ropes for the broadcasting part of it. Shout out to Corbin McDonald. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
And he really, you know, got me invested in the sports side of things.
Yeah.
But oh my God, everybody that was there, dude, there was like 10 people there. And, like, the only two guys there were me and one of my other guys that I went to high school with. And, you know, he was, like, a little kind of eccentric or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we were friends, but we weren't, like, best friends.
Yeah, like, just acquaintances.
Yeah, so that was kind of weird. And then, like, all these girls in the class, like, or all these girls at the seminar were just, like, blue-haired, freaking, like, super left-leaning. Like,
but, yeah.
And, like, that's just the newspaper business, and I don't have a problem with it. But it's like the people that just like let you know about it. And like they hit that really hard.
Well, I do remember a specific argument that you had with one of them, but I don't know if you want me to get into that.
Well, you can bring it up, because I'm going to edit this thing, so if I don't like it, I can just cut it out. So.
It had to do with the Washington Command, the Redskins.
I don't remember that. So remind me.
And shout out to Zach. He was involved with it, but I remember you told the girl, he's like, well, I have a friend named Zach, and he's not offended by it. And then she responded something to the effect of, oh, he must not be a real Mexican or native or whatever.
Well, yeah. Yeah. He must not be a real Mexican. He's not a fan of the Raiders. Yeah. No, that's funny. Well, I will say I don't really recall that too much.
Yeah.
But it sounds like something
sounds pretty bugged, something that could happen.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I will say that I have now learned that's probably not the best argument in the world to say, I have a native friend,
yeah,
and he's not offended, and using that as an argument. But to be fair, her saying that he's not a real Native American,
That's just as bad.
Exactly. But that's two people, two sophomores in high school, you know.
I'd like to get her on the podcast now. I bet you'd have, like, you'd be able to field your arguments way better.
I think now I would not be passionate about it.
Yeah, you just wouldn't care about it at this point.
No.
Yeah.
I do like how you brought up both of Zach's races.
Well, maybe it wasn't Zach. I don't remember.
The thing is I know for a fact I really only had one Mexican friend and one Native friend, and they were both the same guy.
Yeah.
At that point, maybe it was Jameson. Because now I'm thinking about it, I did. Jameson is also Native. And actually, I had two Mexican friends and two Native friends. So, shout out to Tree for having a diverse friend group.
Yeah.
You know, I think that goes a long way.
Yeah, doesn't have any black friends, but he's open to it. If anyone's interested.
Yeah, exactly. I won't take you over to my house, though, because I'm afraid of what my downstairs neighbor's stepkid might say.
Right.
And what he might do to you with that stick that he's beating the tree with. I want to talk about our little, you know, when me and... I want to talk about our drive over here, first of all, because we had to go pick up the key to get in here, because Bainey took it home, and... I was able to find his house on the first try, and my homie Trey said that was great directional work, and I love to hear that because I'm usually very directionally challenged.
We both are. Yep.
And I think there's no better example of that than from when we were kids, and when we used to go to SAC all the time, which was a middle school, and it was, you know, not that far away from where we lived.
Shout out the SAC.
Yeah, and yeah, we would go over there, and that's kind of, it had like a
That's kind of where we grew up, if you think about it. Yeah. Like all the football games we used to play back then, and
yeah,
encounters and all that. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. We literally used to like take like our wrestling action figures and like go and play with them at this junior high. There's just like so much, like obviously there's a football field, tennis courts, like,
basketball.
You can play whatever. Yeah. And there's like just so much space. So you could do kind of whatever you wanted. There's a track, you could ride your bike around it, you know, tons of stuff.
Yeah.
But it literally, from where we lived to there, was a straight shot. Like you literally could not mess that up at all. But when we were young, and like, honestly, I wish I could undersell our ages, but I think we were older than what we were. I want to say you were probably 12, and I was probably like 10.
2 years apart, mind you.
Yeah. So I think we go there, and we could never find our way home. Right, because our mom used to literally go and pick us up, whatever.
Yeah,
and we could not find our way home. And this is before cell phones. And what did we use instead of a cell phone when we would go to SAC?
So we didn't have a cell phone, huh?
You don't remember, really?
Wasn't a walkie-talkie, was it?
No, but we did have a walkie-talkie era that we did.
I remember that. Yeah.
We used to have a timer.
Oh yeah. How would that get us contact with mom though? Isn't that what you just said? It's like, well, we didn't have a cell phone. What else did we have? A timer.
Well, but the cell phone had a clock. And
it had a built-in phone into it. timer goes off. Call mom.
I guess the contact part doesn't make much sense, but the timer operated as a clock, and the timer would go off. We'd have to go home. It was literally like a, it was like we were like in an oven or something. It was literally just like a stopwatch. And one time we were at SAC and we lost the timer, and we could not find it. And so during this whole hullabaloo, this hubbub.
Hubbubaloo. That's what you said.
Hullabaloo.
What is that?
Like commotion.
Commotion.
Yeah.
The quagmire.
That's a situation.
Yeah. The situation of us losing the timer.
So the quagmire. Yeah, so the quagmire we were facing, right, was that we lost the timer. We didn't know how to make it home, even though we basically could see our house from where we were. We had to go into the junior high, use the phone to call our mom, and our mom was like a recluse. She did not like leaving the house if she didn't have to. And there's a video on TikTok, and this is kind of like wrapping around to this whole thing, because there's a video on TikTok that just really reminds me of this whole situation, and that's why I jotted it down, because it's been living in my head rent free. There's this kid who his dad's calling him, and he's totally like, he's like in the back seat, and he's in like a parking garage, and he's like, his dad's calling him, like, where are you at? And he's like, Adam's house or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, you're not. And he's like, I'm in North Liberty. And his dad's like, I'm fucking pissed. He said it again. And I remember mom comes from fucking, I remember she's in her sweats and her fucking long t-shirt that she'd always wear with her old ass dog Honey, who's fucking probably on her last legs, probably collapsed on the walk. And she gets there, and I remember I said, Mom, you have every right to be mad. And Mom never cussed ever. And she said, damn right I have every right to be mad. And then we walked home, and she was fucking pissed. Do you not remember that?
I do remember the timer that I remember. The one story that I remember, it was something similar to that, but it wasn't because we lost the timer. It was because we thought we saw something. Which, looking back, it was kind of shady because there was a guy, like a car that stopped.
Yeah, keep talking. And then check it was audio levels again.
Audio level check. One, yeah. Two.
I just keep feeling like, just don't like
lean get back.
Too, yeah, don't lean back sorry. Too far. Well, you can if yeah. you want, just don't lean back too far. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
But keep going.
So yeah, there was that. I mean, it could have been, you know, someone pulling a prank on us, but
what
you
happened
know,
with that? I don't even remember this.
We were scared of something. We were tripping out about something.
When we were at SAC?
When we were at SAC, it was like nighttime. And I don't know if we called and were like, yeah, we need to get out of here. And she was pretty upset about that, but...
When did we see you? Do you remember? Can you retell the story?
It was... All I remember is that there was a car, and it just looked shady. But being at nighttime probably had something to do with it, because everything looks pretty shady when you're there. But stopped out, I don't know, looked like he was kind of walking towards us. Something like that, but... No, I don't, to be honest, Treeb, I don't really remember going into SAC to use the phone. The timer thing, I remember.
That's crazy.
And guys, I think it's also important. When we were growing up, we were kind of at the brink of technology. You know, smartphones really? Were a thing back when we were growing up, but not too many people had them. In fact, one of our first phones that we had were the little... slide out the keyboard. Treeb, you want to tell the people what those phones were like? Because I know you used them way more than I used mine back in the day, texting people.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember the slide the text cell phones, and those were awesome and sick.
They had to bring those back.
Yeah. But I want to get into one more SAC story, and I want to see if you remember this one.
All right. Hopefully, I'll remember.
Oh. Yeah, but I think these stories are good anyway.
Yeah.
It makes us laugh.
Memory lane.
Yeah. I remember we were hanging out with one of our degenerate friends that,
you know, And I'm pretty, I didn't say his name, but I know who you're talking about when you say that. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he was with us when I was telling you that one story.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So, yeah, we were with our degenerate friend.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, for some reason, like, our shoes were off. And we were, like, taking turns throwing each other's shoes. And that is the dumbest thing ever. You know, we could have just had a football or something, but we decided to throw shoes. And he threw my shoe on the roof of, like, the snack barn.
Mm-hmm.
And when he threw the shoe on the roof of the snack barn, you know, I was like, whatever, you know, I'll just go up and get it. And then I go up and get it, and this lady who lives right by the junior high was like, you need to get down from there. And I was like, lady, I'm just getting my shoe. And then you and our degenerate friend, I remember, were like, leave him alone, he's just getting his shoe. And then she's like, I'm calling the cops. And me and Trey, right, we're not bad kids, never have been, never will be. So when I was on top of that shed, and she said, I'm calling the cops, I just sat there and cried. I didn't make a commotion, nothing. This lady just made a kid cry who just wanted to get his, like, probably ASIC shoe off the building.
Off the barn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do remember your shoe getting stuck up there. And if I remember correctly, there was another friend that just left after that happened.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not even going to deal with it, but not Treeb. You were definitely, and I hope I don't offend you when I say this, but you were definitely pretty emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of back then, you were pretty quick to, you know, break down, but which is fair, but nah, I mean, the old lady, and I was wondering if you got that story confused from when I flipped off the old lady, because that sounds pretty close to what that situation
you
was.
You and the D-Gen did that, I remember.
Yeah.
We shouldn't
have been throwing shoes, though. So
no.
we have to take accountability for that, because that was stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But also, this, like, what are you going to call it? Like, you're wasting taxpayers' dollars to call the cops on a kid getting his shoe off of a snack, like, barn, like,
yeah. I mean, if we want to give her the benefit of the doubt, maybe she was just scared that we would fall and hurt ourselves, maybe.
That wasn't her tone.
That wasn't her tone.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't get that tone at all.
Just a Karen. Yeah. We'll write her off as that, I guess.
That's what I write her off as. Yeah. Something else I want to talk to you that's just, it's been living in my head a lot rent-free lately, but it's also living in my playlist rent-free lately. Nothing gets me going like old video game soundtracks these days. SmackDown vs. Raw 2007 has a excellent soundtrack. Old Maddens. And the thing is like the hidden gems that you hadn't heard were always the best for the soundtracks. But like the bangers and like the notable hits that they would put in the Maddens back in the day were also really good. Like I remember Undead by Hollywood Undead was on one of the Maddens. Mm. And like I'm getting real nostalgia for old music, and I've kind of already touched on that in an older podcast. But yeah, I mean, what do you think? You know, do you ever go back and tune in to some old Madden soundtracks and SmackDown vs. Raw 07?
Well, I mean, that's kind of how I figured out my love for rap music.
Yeah,
was through the soundtrack because, you know, back when we were growing up, you know, you had the radio, and then you had whatever your parents would listen to. And for our parents, it would be like, you know, our mom was pretty into like the pop scene. You know, she
like rap.
She had like a few pop songs and stuff. And you know, our dad's into like the classic rock. You know, Def Leppard and
stuff like that.
And so I remember we played Blitz the League, which I shouldn't have been playing. It was an M-rated game.
Yeah.
Listen to the soundtrack and. You know, some of the songs I look back now are pretty corny, but it definitely had some bangers. And, you know, and I even remember showing Dad one of the music videos, just pure underground, like we're talking pure underground New York hip-hop in the early 2000s, when they would use the F-slur like it was nothing. That's just how it was back then.
Before you get going, that was just like another point that I had.
Yeah.
Is like in Undead, like that song, they just drop the F slur like it's nothing.
And that was like 2009. So even back then it was kind of, you know, kind of shocking. But so yeah, that's kind of how I first, you know, was like, huh, this is different. This is pretty cool. So you had that. Not a whole lot of bands you would probably know. Madchild, who's a Republican conservative rapper now, but he was a well-respected MC from Canada back in the day. He was on the soundtrack, but it was like straightforward, like underground hip-hop from like the early 2000s, late 90s, and that's what kind of sucked me into the whole scene. But SmackDown vs. Raw 07, NFL Street 2. I got a bullet with a name on it.
Bullet with a name! They're going to copyright this. They copyrighted my last podcast because I played Bad Bad Man by John Cena.
Yeah, what a mark.
I know.
You couldn't even see him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like...
Speaking of John Cena, did you see he turned heel?
You know, I did hear about it. It took them way too long to do it. To the point where I feel like nobody even cares anymore.
It popped the internet pretty good.
There's a pretty
big wave on Twitter. It was trending on Twitter, and I think, you know, it may have taken a long time, but when it finally happened, you know, the internet was in disbelief. Yeah, disbelief, because, you know, I never thought I'd see that. But I think, like, that's, like, the only thing he hasn't done. So it's like, why else? I mean, it's his retirement tour, so I feel like he kind of had to do it.
Yeah. They should have pulled the trigger in like 2011 when he was doing the whole thing with the Nexus.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to put Nexus over when they were like the hottest thing going back at that time. That would have been the perfect time for him to turn heel. And but they just didn't pull the trigger because all the little Jimmies wanted his merch and stuff, but I got respect for John Cena, but at the same time, I think the Super Cena run from like 2010 to like everything after that was kind of bullshit. Oh, I don't know if I can cuss or not, but it's kind of BS. So Cena wins. LOL.
Yeah, I'm hyped for it. I think it's cool that he did that. Another thing that just lived in my head, rent-free, that I've been thinking about. Because I saw a video on Facebook, and I have not thought about this in years, probably since that game, since the game came out. But Madden Rewind, you remember that? And yes, it was a bad feature, but I feel like for like just what it was in the game, like if they just had it for like in an arcade Madden game,
right?
Like, and it's just like in that mode, I think they should bring it back.
Yeah, well, you know, being a Madden head, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they do bring it back, because EA has a history of, like, saying that a mode is new when really it's, like, from, like, 10 years ago, but they market it as if it's, like, an uncharted territory for them.
Yeah.
So you never know, rewinds might come back. I know for sure I need one when I'm playing Madden. I need, like, 4 or 5 of them.
100%. All right, One thing I want to just ask you about, and that's been living in my head rent-free recently, is something that, you know, you haven't been able to tell me a whole lot of stories about, but I have been very curious to know more about your experiences, and that's when you were at Job Corps. And for those of you who don't know, Job Corps is basically for pregnant teens and dudes who do drugs and kids who did pretty bad in school and don't want to do the military.
I was a completely different side of that. You know, I had good parents. You know, I was kind of, I don't know how I want to say this, but I was kind of exposed to those types of kids for an undisclosed reason, but
so
you know, I went over there. It was located in next to Yakima. It was located in White Swan, and you know, I got stories for days about that. Some are PG friendly, some are pretty rated R friendly. You know, the one story that kind of sticks out in my head is so we have these like residential advisors, you know, college, I don't know if they do it in college dorms, but usually they'll have someone comes in, they're in charge of the dorms, you know, making sure people are where they're supposed to be, make sure everyone's keeping their place nice, there's no drugs going on. You kind of get the picture.
Were there drugs going on often?
You know, I do have a story about that.
Yeah.
But honestly, no, and there's a lot of, and I don't want to steer people away because it gets a bad rep, which for good reasons, but, you know, you hear stories about, oh, there's a lot of stabbings and all this going on at Job Corps. And they, when it comes to, like, stuff like that, they actually take it really seriously. You'll get, they call it zero tolerance, and for short, they called it ZT'd.
Yeah.
So if you were to do anything like that, you get ZT'd for it.
Well, I would hope if you were to stab, that you would be kicked out of Job
Corps. That was a legit concern for me because I got hyped up from the fake news.
Well,
so okay.
how did you get it? Why did you go to Job Corps? I don't even remember that.
Well, you know, I knew I wanted to do something. I knew I wanted to leave and experience new things, and I was kind of upset that, well, I was concerned that, you know, if I just would have stayed, it's like the whole Trevor Wallace skit where it's like the guy who never left his hometown.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, you know, concerned that that was going to be me. And, you know, the thing that I wanted to do was join the military. That was something that I wanted to do. Probably could have still did it if I pushed myself, but you know, it was just one of those things where, like, if I were to join the military, it would have taken me a long time, and I didn't know if I had the discipline to be able to, you know, do things by myself and not have someone telling me to do something at that time. So anyway, I go to Job Corps, and then back to the story that I was telling. So, we had a male one, and then we had a female one. So the female one, I only saw her like once or twice because I went from moving into one dorm and then I switched to another dorm, moved in with her, and you know, she was with them, whatever. So literally like the first night that I was there was like the week that she was leaving. And so all the guys, it was an all guy dorm. And so all the guys were saying, oh, you're going to come out and drink with us after. And so jokingly, but they like kind of were like, oh, let's all go for a hug. Now, at the time, I didn't think it was a big deal. Now that I'm a little bit older and I can see when you're a woman that's surrounded by a teenage and older guys about how they're all swarming towards you, how that can look.
Yeah.
And she just flips the F out, dude. She's like, what the F is wrong with you? Yeah. And then just storms off. Because, like, it was like the first day that I was there, and I was like,
because, like, a bunch of guys are just coming and swarming her? Or, like,
what? Yeah, like, trying to hug her, I guess, to say, like, congratulations.
Yeah, but.
And, but they took it the wrong way. She took it the wrong way, so.
But, you know, that does seem bad.
It does seem bad. I mean, it wasn't their intentions, obviously, but I can see, you know, when I look at. I look at it from the other perspective about how that, yeah, you could be looked and stuff, so.
Yeah, and then, so the drugs, what's your...
So the drug story is, I mean, you would hear from time to time, it was never anything hard. I mean, we're talking marijuana.
Oh, okay.
Friend stuff like that. So it was, going on Christmas break. Which, you know, going to Christmas break when you're at Job Corps is definitely a cool experience. You know, it's not something that I want to experience again, but that one was a pretty cool experience. You know, you wake up at 6 a.m., you get with all your buddies, everyone's excited, like, oh, I'm going back home, I'm going to do this, you know, I'm just going to go home, have a good time. Pretty cool. But, so we all get ready to go off. You know, the buses are going to take us to the Greyhound station, and from there, you got to figure out your own way back home. So, they load us up on the bus, and one of the directors of, like, the Job Corps safety division came on the bus and said, listen up, we just saw someone 2 minutes ago smoking outside the dorm, and I'm going to tell you what, right now, I have half the nerve to pull every single one of you off the bus and just keep you there, because, and then he just, like, went off on a rant, like, how stupid is it of someone to do it right in front of the door and not even be secret about it,
yeah.
And this part will always stick with me for as long as I live. He's like, you guys are the Pineapple, the Pineapple Express, and he called the entire bus the Pineapple Express because of it, and he just, like, walked off.
Think that would be, like, an insult? I bet you guys wore that, like,
a badge of honor. Yeah, like a badge of honor. Like, hell yeah, we're the Pineapple Express. But,
And, like, thinking back to it, he did not have that power to keep you guys there.
Probably not, no. He probably didn't, but...
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, he would have just stalled us, and then we all just get pissed and... Try to, and they did kind of live in the model to where, you know, if one person does something stupid, I don't know if that how this work was when you were in football or wrestling back in the day, where
if one
person does something bad, then everyone else is in trouble, that kind of thing. That's kind of how it was. And
yeah, but this wasn't like a sport or like the military. This was like you guys trying to learn a trade, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You guys were just like working 12 out. And it's like basically like you guys were just working a shift for like pennies on the dollar and then...
Get paid like it was... So we started out at $23.01 because the government always has to do something stupid where they just add the 1 cent for like... Craps and giggles.
$23.01.
I don't even think it was every week. I think it was like every other week. So when people say, oh, I work at Walmart and make no money. Like, and then by the time I left, it was $32. So I moved up a little bit every 2 weeks. But then when I left, I think I got a pretty, which at the time it was a lot of money because I was like 18 or 19 years old. But even then, if I was just working a minimum wage job and it was like $200, and I could have made that working at McDonald's, but back then I was like, oh my god, I'm rich.
Well, like, because you guys would have something where, because Job Corps, right, it's, you guys are on like a campus, but it's like so far out, you're not really, like, you can't leave the campus, right?
Yeah.
It's like a prison, almost. You can't leave... You can't go to, like, stores at night. You have to be on the Job Corps
The premises.
Yeah.
And the bus they took us in was a prison bus, pretty much, for anyone that, you know, realizes that.
Yeah.
So
looking back, would you have gone to Job Corps if you knew, I guess, how old would it be after the fact?
So here's the thing. If you were to tell me back then this is how everything is going to play out, number one, I would have tried way harder in school. Where are you going?
Oh, I'm just checking.
Okay.
Just keep going.
So I would have tried harder in school, and I was one of those people when I was younger, like, you know, 16, 17, 18. It's like, I don't need to go to college, you know, school's stupid, this and that. But nowadays that I've got wiser and I realize just how many jobs, you know, people are able to get with a degree and stuff. And I realize it's never too late and stuff like that, but... So my train of thought would definitely be different on that regard. But I would still go to Job Corps again, but I think what I would change from last time is I wouldn't mess around. I would have taken it more seriously. Job Corps, I mean, it was what it was. Had a lot of fun moments and crazy moments and pretty best moments. As a matter of fact, if you want one of my R-rated stories, it's actually on my YouTube channel. It's The Raw Tales, and the subject of the story is Caught with a Toy. So you probably can read between the lines on that one if you needed to.
That's crazy. So you could. So would you or would you not go back to Job Corps?
Knowing
everything that you know now, that you would...
If it was my only option... I would, but I would try to do everything in my power to not put myself in that situation.
Yeah.
I would have studied for the ASVAB, which is the military test. I would have definitely I would have hit the gym more. I would have tried to get more in shape, which is the biggest lie is saying, oh, well, you don't have to work out before wrestling practice or go to boot camp. They're just going to do it for you. Which is the worst mindset you can ever be, because, you know, if you get yourself in shape before you have to do anything physical, it just makes it that much easier. And I'm sure you can relate, because imagine, like, wrestling practice, which was a grind. But imagine if, like, the whole summer you were working out, and then by the time wrestling practice came around, it was nothing. You just breezed through it.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think, so, like, if Trey told you, like, future Trey, like, everything you know now... came up and told you, like, hey, you're going to be working in the valley, you're going to have this security job, blah, blah, blah. Do you think you would have done Job Corps? Do you think you just would have went to the military? Or do you think you would just try and get a job in town?
Yeah, I would probably go the military route.
Yeah.
I'm not very smart, so that kind of limits my college options. So, yeah, I definitely would have tried to do things differently, but, you know. I'm pretty content where I'm at now. I mean, I'm at the point now where it's like 40 hours a week with benefits. I feel like I made it in a way. that's like all you need, which is a whole nother topic.
Well, this has already turned into, I think, the longest podcast that I've done so far. So
it's a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
To kind of close this thing out, the NFL Combine was this last week, I believe. I kind of want you to give me your honest assessment here. I want you to tell me, and I'm going to ask you the test and give me your answers, how you would do at the NFL Combine given your current physical state and if we lined you up. So, first of all, give me your height.
I think I'm like
6'1". 6'1", stand on my money, now I'm
6'1". I don't even
know my weight.
That's what I was going to ask.
I haven't checked my weight, because if you don't know, then you don't know. That's what I say. I feel that,
but I'm trying to lose weight, so I've been weighing myself.
Yeah, it's like,
but if you had to guess, I think you probably weigh less than me.
Okay, so how much do you think?
I weigh 228. I think you probably weigh 220, 215.
All right, we'll go with that.
Yeah, that's fair. How much do you weigh on your license?
I think it's about the same, actually. Like 220, I told them, or something.
Yeah. You ran a 40-yard dash.
There's no way. I'm probably getting like a 6'5".
You're honest about your skills. I think you could probably do it in
If I could get under a 7, I'd be honestly surprised with myself. I'd be content with that.
I think you could do like a 5.9.
5.9. Yeah, that's optimistic.
Just under 6. You know, who knows? You know, maybe the next time Trey's on, we'll have a clip of him running the 40.
Only if you do it too.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have clips of us running the 40.
The 40-yard dash.
Not in this episode, so
throw
I don't know.
It up after.
I don't know why I'm pointing at the camera. If you had to bench press one plate on each side, so that's like, you know, the NFL, they do 225.
Right.
If you had just one plate on each side.
Oh, God. Again, I don't even know if I can get one rep in.
You don't think so?
Maybe I could do like, I think my max would be like 5 to 10. Maybe I can get lucky and get 15, but.
You think you could do a pull-up?
Even when I was in high school, I couldn't do a pull-up.
I was afraid of pull-ups.
Not that I was in peak physical shape back then either, but I was probably worse. So, yeah.
Well, do you have anything else that's living rent-free in your head, Trey, that you want to get out?
So, you know, you talk about the combine, and I have to ask you as a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, you know, and you probably touched on this on the podcast if I didn't get a chance to hear it, but I need to get your opinion on the new head coach. You guys hired Liam Cohen. I want to get your opinion on that. And what direction do you guys think you should go in this upcoming draft?
I think Liam Cohen is fine. He kind of fits what the NFL head coaches are
like the
looking
McVay's,
like. Yeah.
McVay's that kind of coach.
He's an offensive-minded young guy.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
the tight pants guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's good. He's fine. You know, I don't really. I'm so just burnt out from the Jags and how much they hurt me. You know, that like, even though it seems like these are all the right moves that they're making, I don't want to get excited about it until I see the results.
Yeah, because then, your disappointment lasts shorter.
And as far as the draft goes, I either want us to get the defensive tackle out of Michigan.
Mason Graham.
Yeah. Or Travis Hunter. But I don't think Travis Hunter is going to fall to 5.
Yeah. So you're not sold on Cam Ward or Sanders.
Trevor Lawrence isn't going to get replaced.
He's not going anywhere.
No, that's our
guy. Well, this brings up our topic. So you're still not completely out on Trevor Lawrence.
I never will be.
Never will be.
It doesn't matter who's slinging the rock for the Jags. I'll always back him up. I mean,
even Blake Bortles.
I was a diehard Blake Bortles guy. Yeah. And, you know, I got into a little, not like an argument on Twitter the other day, but like kind of like a debate or whatever, where they said like the 2011 through 2013 is like the worst the Jags have ever been with like Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
Which is like probably true, but it's like I have so much fun nostalgia from that team because of like, dude, Cecil Schwartz was the shit. Love Cecil Schwartz. Yeah. And I think the worst era of the Jags was like 2019 through 2021, like Trevor Lawrence's first season.
Yeah, and it's like, because like in 2011, you guys didn't have any expectations.
Yeah.
Hardly. But now, like, when you got Trevor Lawrence, you guys are supposed to be good.
Yeah, and
not,
like, and it's like 2019, we got Nick Foles, and like Nick Foles was even supposed to be kind of like the guy to like bring us back. He sucked, he got hurt. Then 2020, Minshew went 1-1. Or 1-15, and then 2021, Trevor Lawrence's rookie year, we fucking sucked. So, you know, that was a terrible stretch, and I think arguably worse than that Dark Ages that everybody talks about.
It's pretty crazy. You guys got Nick Foles and you got Doug Peterson.
Well, they weren't on the same team together.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah.
Do you think they kind of cut the cord out of Peterson too early?
No. You hear, like the NFLPA or whatever Players Association, they kind of shit on him. Like, no, it seemed like he wasn't a good fit there anymore, so.
Well, we actually hired your boy,
Doug Marrone. I heard about that.
Offensive line coach. So. You'd probably say Del Rio is probably the best overall coach in your history, or Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin. And that second spot's kind of
up for grabs.
I guess Jack Del Rio, technically. He used to wear suits on the sidelines.
Yeah.
That's something you never see anymore.
Yeah, he kind of looked like I don't know if you ever saw Hardball with Keanu Reeves.
No, I've never seen it, but I've seen
that's kind of who Jack Del Rio looks like with like the leather jacket. That's kind of who he reminds me of for some reason.
I was telling Dad the other day, I've never seen The Replacements Friday Night Lights, the movie or the TV show, and I've never seen Varsity Blues.
Have you seen Any Given Sunday?
No.
Well, that's the best football movie you ever made.
Really? Yeah. I feel like you've changed your opinion on that like a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really seen it like seriously until like a couple of years ago, but it's in my top five movies of all time. Jamie Foxx killed his role in that, and then also Jarhead, which is like a Marine movie that Jamie Foxx is in. So
yeah, well, and you finally just watched Blue Mountain State for the first time.
Yeah, I know. I was sleeping on it, and I heard they're bringing it back.
Yeah, so you watched it at like the perfect time.
The perfect time to bring it back. I think it's gonna flop personally, but
well, the movie sucked. Did you watch the movie?
The Return of That. Yeah, it wasn't. But at the same time, it's like, you know, one of those things, what do you expect?
My new thing is collecting DVDs, and yeah, I got the first season of Blue Mountain State on DVD.
On DVD. I don't understand why they don't ever put out, like, the special, like, the outtakes or, like, the special features that used to be in DVDs and movies anymore.
Yeah, you know, like, and speaking of John Cena, I remember, you put in hours on that five questions with John Cena. Speaking of DVDs, John Cena and special features.
And special features.
Yeah. I also told the story in the last podcast about how I, you remember, made that video where I shit on John Cena and the Cena shirt. You remember that?
Yeah. We could do a whole podcast talking about old school YouTube. There was no YouTube for kids. That was not a thing when we were coming up on YouTube. No. If you were a kid on YouTube back in the day, getting a lot of death threats and
tons
of them, getting called every name in the book.
I will say it is nice that back in the day it seemed like the trolls and like people that were hating on us or whatever aren't as serious as they are today. Like it seems like if you get shit on the internet these days, or if you know you're a kid or whatever, they'll find your fucking address. They'll find your house.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole swatting thing.
We never had that.
I always remember the first YouTube video that I remember watching was like a parody version of SpongeBob's The Grandma's Kisses episode.
Like a YouTube
And movie. I always remember how it opened. It's like, Grandma's Kisses, you, and then
F-bomb. God, this has been a F-bomb. Really long. This has been an F-slur, N-word heavy episode.
All the slurs, you're getting all of it. What can you expect? Because we're in Idaho.
Should I title this video Trey Says the N-word?
Trey says
Trey says with, the F-word.
But not with the A.
Yeah.
You gotta preface that.
Trey says N-A.
N-A. Not applicable.
That's so dumb. Why was that funny? We should be like an hour into this podcast. Like I said, the longest one. Definitely going to have some heavy editing to do with this one, but that's okay.
Keep you busy.
Yeah, I think this was probably the best episode I've done, so thank you for that.
No doubt.
Fun banter. Hopefully everything comes out okay in the editing. Yeah. And if you're watching this, then it did, and it worked out really well.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to come back. Definitely want to do this again. Hopefully next time it'll be at a time where I don't have to wake up the next morning to go to work. That'd be the ideal situation, because then I could really wild out.
Well, I mean, I feel
all the way naked.
Is you getting up early the only thing preventing you from taking your pants off?
Yeah, because I know I have to put them on at 6 in the morning. no pants on the weekend.
Yeah, no. We can only get Trey pantsless here if it's the weekend.
Yeah.
And we're going to have some fun. Yeah. But, all right. Well, hopefully he'll be here again.
I will be back, though.
We'll be back.
This will not be my last time.
We'll be back. We're hoping for next week.
I won't say. Excellent.
Yeah, he won't say the N-word.
No slurs. Yeah.
I'm gonna bleep every time you're about to say the F-word or the N-word, so it looks like that you did say it.
I actually said it.
Yeah.
Breaking news, Trey's been fired from his job at the corporate of Tree.
Oh, man. Too much fun. Again, hope Trey comes back. He will come back, but, you know, we're going to try to pressure him in the next week. We're going to try to get a scheduling thing that makes sense so we can have him on next week. Yeah.
For sure.
And we can make this a common occurrence, because nobody banters like the TNT brothers.
TNT.
And Dynamite.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, we might even, Trey comes on enough times, we might even change the podcast name to, like, the TNT podcast or something.
The Sore Brothers. From Idaho.
I'm F-word joined by N-word here. All right, that's enough. Right. Thank you guys for tuning in to the podcast. Trey, you want to plug anything, or are you good?
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube, Trey is Raw, all one word with an A-Y, not an E-Y, if you want to check out my stuff. Shane Got You 11, my guy from Spokane, Washington. I'm on a podcast with him every other Friday at 10:30 p.m., so be on the lookout for that.
We keep you up late.
Well, on Friday, it's not that big of a deal, because...
Yeah, I think it's... Cause you
no pants, and I can sleep in. So, God, that's about it.
You're quick with it. Yeah. All right, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button, click the bell icon to get notified every single time we drop a new video. And again, if you guys want to just listen to the audio form of this, the video's not doing it for you. You don't want to see our two sexy faces on the podcast. I don't know why you would ever want to do that. But you can. It's on every single podcast platform in the world. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.